listen to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
You can hear me now?
Yeah, it doesn't sound great. It sounds very fuzzy and boxy. Say words to me now.
Hello, hello, hello.
I mean, it's not the best, but it is what it is. I think we'll be all right. This is the recording. Desmond, we're going to get you something that you can use, I hope.
Hi, hi, hi.
That is better. That's a lot better.
Oh, good. Yeah, sometimes that happens with the... When you call in, you have to just call in again. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a little not the best, but it's not awful.
Yeah, it's not going to be the best today.
It is what it is. Cool. All right. Well, hello. We did it. We made it on. Technical okay, challenges accepted.
I've been having a 24-hour period that feels very Mercury retrograde, but we're not in a Mercury retrograde. Like every technical thing that can be weird and annoying has been like in every way.
Huh.
And then, here's a couple. Here, I'll give you some examples. I know you're on the edge of your seat. One, the lady I had to call to, like, set up a mammogram. Health and wellness, women's health. We're talking about it. The woman kept asking me to give her my insurance card number. So I would give it to her, and she'd be like, that doesn't work. Let's try a different thing. And she'd try a different thing, and that wouldn't work. Then, on a whim, she was like, give me the third number that's on the back of your card. I gave it to her. She was like, when I entered that third number, the first number you gave me registered correctly. And we both were like, okay, understand that. And she was like, this has literally never happened in 20 years of my doing this. I was like, okay, great. Second thing, I've been dog sitting for my sister. Her dog is the devil. I may have mentioned this already. He has escaped her house 7 times in 7 days.
Wow.
He goes galloping down the street so that I have a very small chance of catching him. Doesn't respond to his name, but I figured out a whole system. Now, when he escapes, what he does is he breaks holes in the fence and gets out because he's a fucking maniac. I find out he's gone. I go out to get him with meat in my hand.
Yeah.
If I have meat in my hand, he's like, oh shit, there's meat over there. He comes running back. So that chaos and drama has been happening. I had another weird technology thing. Well, so there's today's weird technology, which is really just me forgetting my laptop. Lame. And then we're calling on this thing. And oh, now I can't think of the... Hold on, I have another one. Oh, I know what it is. Okay, Sarah's TV. I've been staying at her house. If I try to watch her TV while sitting on the couch that is in front of it, or you to sit on to watch the TV with from on, it doesn't work. But if I stand up in front of the couch, it worked.
I mean, do you literally mean you can't, the remote won't turn? Or like, as soon as you sit down, the TV turns off?
I mean, like, okay, let's say I'm standing up. So I turn the thing on and it's a Roku, right?
Uh-huh.
So I click, you know, Hulu. Hulu comes up. I click a show. I start to watch the show. The second I sit down, the whole thing shuts down. It either freezes or takes me back to the home screen or just goes black. So I go, well, that's weird. And just randomly, I happened to stand up once, just out of frustration, maybe. I don't know. I stood up, and then the whole thing turned on and worked again. And I was like, well, that was funny. Then I sat down, and it turned off. So then for hours, I just tried every logical thing you could try. I moved the router. I restarted the router. I moved this little, like, sort of antenna thing. I moved that around. I turned it on. I turned it off. I did every troubleshooting thing you can do. Like, nothing worked except standing up.
And did you try just staying standing for a half an hour and it continued working as long as you stayed standing?
Oh yeah. And you know what else they did? I went away to the kitchen. I was like, well, I guess I'll cook while I'm listening to this show because I can't sit. So I go to the kitchen, cook up a meal, listening to the show, come back in, forgot about the whole phenomenon, sat down to eat, fucked it up. It turned off. Stood up again. Then I, wait a minute. is it only sitting, so I go to the living room, sorry, the dining room, I get a dining room chair and I bring it to a different location in the room, like to the side of the couch. Maybe it won't be mad at me if I sit in a different seating ornament.
No.
So I sit on the chair, it went out.
I don't understand that at all.
There is absolutely no logic to it. In the same way that when the lady on the phone entered my insurance number, which is the only insurance number that I have, it didn't register. But when I entered like what would be the equivalent of like, you know how like when you make a physical card of any kind, there's like a serial number to the card.
Sure.
That was the number I gave her. She was like, just give it to me. And I was like, all right. And then she entered that and the original number that we had entered 10 times showed up as having been entered. That doesn't make any sense.
You're living in an alternative universe. It's because Everything Everywhere All at Once won Best Picture in the Oscars.
Okay.
And so multiple realities are existing.
I would like that to be true, except that this is my life always. And when I try to explain it to people, they don't believe me. They think like, oh, that's charming, honey. You
no, I know you well enough to know you have no reason to make up these stories. And there's still a big part of me that's going, nah, Katie, correlation is not causation. It just was a pure coincidence. But then you like described, okay, I went and got a chair and then I was still standing. And then as soon as I sat down, it went off again. Like,
well,
that doesn't.
2 hours in a row over and over and over and over.
Yeah. Because I was like, maybe there's like a floorboard. No. Oh, I know what it is. Is it a smart TV that like you could have a conference call on, which means that it has a camera on it?
No.
Because some smart TVs have like a camera as well, right? Like a laptop style camera. And there's it's cross wiring the like as soon as you drop below a certain view, it goes, oh, that tells me this. And then it sends some stupid signal that turns it off. So then what you need to do is get a high chair or sit or put three boxes on the couch. And then sit up at the height that standing would be on the couch.
That is I like this theory you have. Here's the problem with it. The following day, all of this stuff happening. So now I just.
What do you mean?
Do whatever I want. The TV works. I sit down, I stand up, the TV works.
Oh, okay. Got it.
This was a phenomenon for several hours of time that then is no longer occurring.
What in the heck?
If your theory were correct, I think it would keep doing it. Can you hold on? Now it sounds like there's a river flowing in my kitchen. Please hold.
What's that problem?
There's a closet in my condo that has the water heater in it and the water pump or whatever that thing is.
Uh-huh.
You know how I'm surprised you can't hear it. Can you hear that?
No.
Okay. Anyway, it's like the sound of when you turn your faucet on, like water is pouring out of something.
Yeah.
Under the closet door and there's no water pouring out that I can see, but there's a place that usually drips like one drop at a time every now and again, and instead it's like a faucet right now. And I'm like,
where is that water going?
Exactly.
Is it dripping onto the ground?
No, it's connected to a tube that goes below the ground.
Oh, it's like it's flushing. Maybe it's just flushing.
Okay.
Let's just use that word to make it sound official. It's supposed to do that. It's flushing.
The man fact that I like. I'm running with it.
Okay, good.
Cassidy Brown.
You, Katie, you have your own personal Mercury retrograde, which isn't Mercury retrograde. It's just a Katie vortex.
Yep.
Yeah, that's not my experience right now. That is craziness. I have had some really minimal, weird, arbitrary internet dip in the last 48 hours. We're like, I'm on, it's working. And then just for a second, for like a minute, it just goes, nah. And then it works again. But that's nowhere near as interesting.
I hear you. You know what I actually think it is, which is it's not a universal thing. I actually think this is because I'm staying at Sarah's house, and this is how off the energy is for me at that house, which is why I'm out of it. I think I'm just like, I can't find my alignment there. And I come over here and everything's been flowing and better. And I've been in the house several nights, sleeping there, acclimating to its frequency. And I think it's like you put one kind of portal inside another kind of portal, and sometimes you get chaos.
Yeah.
Which brings us back to Everywhere All at Once, winning at the Oscars. Big deal.
Oh, they blazed the Oscars. Yeah, it was a very big deal. It was a lot of things, a lot of feelings being had. Yeah.
The Asians
won all over the place on this one. Yeah, it was the strong showing for that movie. And also, it's kind of cool that a movie that's completely just sort of outside the the norm, a movie about expansive thinking, a movie about weirdness and weirdos.
Consciousness.
I mean,
yeah. A million
just
percent.
Kind of
so cool.
Broke the internet a little bit, or broke the culture a little bit, which is nice. It also doesn't what make else? Any sense that Woman King wasn't nominated for anything except like stunt. No, that was for the SAG Awards. That's all. Woman King was a really good movie and it got completely ignored.
And I'm wondering if I didn't see it because, well, I'll tell you, when I saw the marketing of it, it didn't do anything for me. And I know that's because I'm a white lady. I'm pretty sure it's because I'm a white lady. And I went, I recognize with my mind that that is important, what is happening there. But the actual, how do I say, the artistry of the trailer narratively didn't pull me in. I was like, I'm glad politically this movie exists, but I'm not pulled in emotionally.
Well, you're not really an action movie person, are you?
I love action movies.
So that's, I felt like that was the marketing, was that it was this full-on just action movie. Like, that's what I got from it. And to be honest about, like, with Everything Everywhere, you and movies don't necessarily, you know, just happen. We had to drag you kicking and screaming to seeing that movie. So your awareness of it is not necessarily the measure of it.
Oh, hell no. My awareness of, no, hell no. No, of course not. I'm just saying it just didn't hook me. I didn't get hooked. But I will say when movies hook me, I go immediately. It's just it hasn't grabbed me a movie from the outside in a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
But when they grab me, I go. And no, I don't think my reaction to things is the measure of things at all.
Not at all. Well, I had no desire to see The Fabelmans or All Quiet on the Western Front. Those nothing. Those did nothing for me.
Did they win?
They were nominated. Everything Everywhere won almost everything except for Best Actor, which was won by Brendan Fraser for The Whale. And that's another interesting story. Like, everybody loves Brendan Fraser and hates that movie, is the sort of prevailing narrative.
That's fascinating. Now there's one that I went to see immediately. I saw The Whale immediately.
Yeah.
And ready? Hated it.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see the play either.
Okay. I have a theory about why people hate the movie. You're saying they like him in the movie, but they don't like the movie?
No, they like him personally. I think people have, there's this resurgence of love for Brendan Fraser. There's this weird cultural phenomenon of people going, yeah, we like that guy. To the point where a lot of people got mad at that movie for doing what it did, which was like putting a person in a fat suit instead of actually getting an obese actor and like making all these points about things. That is our person coming in, but then loving him. And so not really even blaming him for that or calling him out, but calling the movie out while still giving him full credit.
That's so, I will just say this and then we'll say hi to you. Keisha, hi, but hold on.
Hi.
I think people's reaction to the film is twofold. One, it's so emotionally heavy-handed that you kind of get into, we're going to cry and feel all the feelings forever, full 2 hours. That has to be kind of.
We're talking about the movie The Whale, by the way.
Oh, and, okay. I don't think I've seen this movie.
No.
And B, they shot it. It's a play first that they turned into a film, and they shot it like a play. So it's very theatrical, and things are shot like as if it's a proscenium stage, and then they move the camera, and everything happens in the proscenium, and it's blocked. Actors are blocked like you block actors on stage. It was very theatrical and heightened emotionality that I don't think personally translated to the screen. I think that's why it doesn't work. But then the fact that he won, it totally confuses me.
Yeah, it was like the only acting award that didn't go to Everything Everywhere All at Once went to Brendan Fraser in The Whale.
Yeah, and I didn't. Whatever. Hi, Keith. Nice to meet you.
Hi, it's nice to meet you too. I've heard
Have
your
you guys
voice,
never
like,
met
I
in
know
human
you.
Form?
I don't think so. No. Wait. I don't think so, right?
I don't think so.
No. But I feel like I know you because I've listened to the podcast. It's been a while, but I was like on it every episode at the beginning. Then I fell off because life, but I'm happy to be here.
Aw, we're happy to have you. Okay, so then as you know, we generally start, like, we'll just ask you a couple things about yourself to get to know you and your relationship to spirituality a little bit and creativity, and then maybe we do the Akashic Records for you if you want to.
That sounds great.
Okay. So, first of all, You live at the chateau, is that right?
I am a chateau light. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
That, been here
for those that don't know, that means Chateau L'Orange, which is the large group collective house that I live in here in the city of Oakland. Yes. And Keisha has been living here for quite a long time. How long have you been here living right next door to my room?
You know, I think I just passed my 8-year mark at the top of the year.
Nice.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? Like time. What is time?
And we still like each other, I assume.
I know. After all these years.
And for the listener, Rami also has lived in the chateau and owns the chateau kind of with Cassidy and lives in New York now, but comes back regularly to the chateau. So there's a lot of things emerge from the chateau.
Yeah. Chateau L'Orange has been the site of many meetings around revolution and creation. And it is definitely one of the sort of, speaking of portals, it's definitely become a sort of a portal of sorts for a lot of art, spirituality, and activism, which leads you to the question you're about to ask Keisha.
So like if I say, you know, the word spirituality near you, Keisha, like what does that mean to you and what role does spirituality play in your life?
I love this question because it's so big. Spirituality is it's just the way that I move through life. I think of every aspect of life, every aspect of existence has its own set of energy, and how I'm interacting or not with those energies is like an aspect of my spirituality. The way I'm, you know, touching the tree in the front yard, and the way that I'm, you know, connecting with my ancestors at my ancestor shrine, the way that I am, you know, meditating and trying to tap into my higher self. You know, these are all the ways. Like it's not for in the way that I have come to live my life, and I'm, you know, trying to even lean more into spirit is everywhere. It's in everything that I do. And I forget who I got this from. You know, shout out to that person. I'm giving you props. I just don't remember who specifically, because it maybe comes to me through like a lot of teachers, but even just thinking of every word you say as a prayer, like what does that mean? Am I good at that yet? No, not at all. I say all kinds of shit that I'm not trying to pray, but you know, that's I don't know, one lens into the ways that I'm thinking about spirituality.
That's cool. Were you raised with anything in particular that you then came away from or deepened into?
Oh, yes. I was raised as a good Pentecostal Christian girl and now am a good pagan heathen. Grew up in the experience of the Black church, and I would say a large percentage of my family is still like pretty religious on that front, on the progressive side of what that can be, because that means, you know, kind of that can mean a lot of different things, but you know, but still in that vein, and see that I have kind of veered into my own path. Which, you know, now at this point in my life, there's three kind of main convergences of spiritual thought that influenced my world. One of them being Yoruba Lukumi, which is kind of the, like, I'm in the kind of Cuban lineage of a Yoruba Nigerian traditional African religion. So like that vein, there's also the Tantra lineage of yoga, and the, you know, ideas and kind of philosophy surrounding that. And then there is Buddhism. So those three kind of are the things that are shaping my worldview as I kind of, you know, eventually in my early to mid 20s, stepped outside of the Christian bubble that I grew up in and started to be like, hey, but what about this other stuff? What about, you know, what about source or God or spirit, like not being this disconnect that's like outside of myself somewhere else, but being like the through line within every living thing. Like, what about that? Like, that became more interesting to me, and that felt truer in my body.
I have a question about that three part system that you are working within, you have, and knowing of you as well as I do, I also know, like, if you get into something, you go deep into it. So, like, you probably have done all the research and you know a lot of the precepts and you know a lot of the rules and foundational structures underneath these things. Do you find, how do you integrate these differing, what I would think of as they all have pretty thorough systems behind them. So it's not just this a bag of thoughts, but actual, like, well, the Buddhist lineage has this set of precepts and the Yoruba one has this set. And do they ever conflict, or do you have, how do you process that?
That's a good question. I mean, yeah, you are correct. They are very distinct from one another. And two, you know, at various points in my life, and this is true about other, like, parts of my life, but one might surge to the forefront more than the others. Do you know what I mean? And even though the other bits are still, you know, they're still in there. They are still kind of part of, like, how I see the world. So when I first moved to Oakland, I was deep inside the meditation, the Vipassana meditation, Buddhism world. Shout out to East Bay Meditation Center. That's my home. That has been my spiritual home, like, since I got to Oakland. I was like, what? You can be in a room full of, like, black and brown people meditating? This is my stuff. I was like, this is what I'm here for. So, you know, deep inside of that world, and that still shapes me. I've been a little bit away from it for various reasons. It's not like, oh, I don't believe that anymore. It's just like life stuff, you know. And at the moment, I've been deepening, and this call has kind of been on my life, on my heart, on my spirit in one way or another for over 10 years. I think when I first kind of got introduced to it, you know, like, what's an Orisha? You know, hearing people talk about that. And the way I came to it was through my dance practice, through being, you know, in a dance company that was working, you know, singing Orisha songs. Orishas are the deities, entities that are in the Yoruba tradition, Lukumi tradition. And so I'm more diving into that world now. Like, that's the thing that's surging most to the forefront now, particularly around the ways that I really am trying to forge deeper connections to my ancestral lineage and just kind of understand how, you know, those energies are speaking to me, are guiding me. And then also, like, what are those places that want to be healed in my family bloodline? That's a thing that I'm really kind of keying in on. I've been talking to one of my aunts about, you know, we've been trying to find people, like, this was, you know, we think this person's name was this, but it might have been this other thing. You know, it's a tricky thing to kind of piece together the past sometimes when information isn't there. But yeah, so Cass, I don't know if that clearly articulates, like, how reconciling them, but, like, not one thing might forge to the forefront more than the others, even though they are all influencing me in one way or another. And sometimes it's, you know, it's like, take what is most resonant, and if there are other things that are a little less resonant, then, you know, it falls away. For me, at least, you know, which is so funny coming out of being, you know, in the Christian world, it's like, it's everything or nothing. It's like, right, this is how it is across, yeah, the whole universe, full stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, what about, I feel like I'm kind of rambling, but I do want to say kind of this one thing before I, you know, pass the mic back to y'all. But there's this experience I had. I was in undergrad. I was in my university's gospel choir, which was still, like, one of my best experiences, like, life experiences. It was so good. And we had done this big, you know, a big end of the year concert. All kinds of people came. I think it's the Mother's Day concert. Shout out to University of Illinois Black Chorus, in case anybody's listening. And, you know, so we were debriefing on the choir practice after the show, and people were giving reflections that, you know, the people that they had invited were giving to them. And one person stood up and talked about how their friend, who was very not Christian, very Buddhist person, talked about witnessing the songs that were, you know, very Jesus heavy, and saying, like, you know, that experience made their heart small. And it just stopped me in my tracks. I was like, that would never happen in reverse. Mm. There's no space for it.
Oh, that a person of a firmly Christian would witness another another form and feel.
Yeah, it would just be blasphemous. It would just be wrong.
Ugh.
It would be right. And I was like, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a joke about that in my stand-up set where I talk about, I talk a lot in my stand-up set about I love spirituality and God, but not spiritual people all the time. And one of the things I don't love about specifically religious folk, a particular kind of religious folk, is the notion of there being a one true path. And then I do a whole joke about like the gap come up with a pair of jeans that fits every woman. We don't have the one true pant. How can there be one true path? And this is something I've thought about a lot where it drives me up the wall when the big book religion, the big three, each have in their little freaking book that theirs is the one true path. And I'm like, have you guys never noticed that everybody else thinks theirs is the one true path? So what makes you right?
Right.
It's just because easy. They say so. If they're as convicted as you are that they are the one true path, who wins? It makes no sense.
Who wins?
Only logical conclusion. Nobody can win. There is no one true pan or path.
It's also that zero sum. By saying we're the one true path, that means there has to be a winner in this battle as opposed to a convergence of helpful movements.
Yeah, exactly. And this is to keep it to your point. My journey on the spiritual path has been so complex. And first it was this and then it was that. And it changed every couple of years and evolved and deepened. And they told me, beginning of the ride, the people I worked with who were in the 12-step recovery rooms, they were like, yeah, your spirituality is going to evolve the rest of your life and change. And I was like, you're crazy. And and it has been anything but consistent. So like, to me, it's like the only constant is change and growth as a person. Then how could the spirituality remain the same unless you're forcing it to?
Right. Also, you just hit us with that Octavia Butler. The only constant is change, or in the parable of the sower, like God is change.
Yes. They talk about, if you look at physics and you look at what's happening with the universe, right? Nothing, then there was a bang, and then things have been expanding. It just gets bigger and bigger, and we keep pieces of it, and the edges keep going further out because what consciousness does expands. And so expansion necessitates change. So like where we feel that things are supposed to land in a place, stay there, that's just the mind always looking to be in control.
Yeah. Ugh. That control piece is so much a part of it, but and I think there's something in that kind of unraveling process that I went through however many years ago, as I was like, oh, what about some of these other ways of thinking? Some of the understanding is about like, oh, this is part of a legacy of domination and control that is also linked to white supremacy, that is also linked to patriarchy. Like there's all these, it's the domino effects of it all. And I'm like, I'm good.
It's the seeking of power instead of the seeking of growth or the seeking of something else. It's all those things in the service of power or domination as opposed to anything else.
Yep.
Right. As opposed to connection or expansion, awareness or love, unity. Mm. The other day we were talking about she's quite young and quite new on her journey, and she was like talking about the Southern Baptist church they go to, and she and her husband and I were talking, and she was like, and I quoted some Bible verse, and she was like, oh, I would have taken you for somebody who's kind of anti-scripture. And I said, actually, I think there's a lot of deep teachings in the Bible. I think Jesus was the coolest guy around. And I have a problem with rigidity around scripture and literalism and legalism around scripture, but there's some wisdom from scripture. And her response was like, that's where we differ. I don't think you get to interpret what's in the Bible. If it's in there, it's true. And she's 20.
Wow.
I just said, I hear you. I respect that point of view. I see it differently, but like, if that is working for you, rock on. We don't have the same page about that. But that
also that she doesn't think she's interpreting literally by reading words. Like, that is insane.
She's young enough and full of enough trauma that she needs to believe something is fixed and it's
right.
So that she can stay in the world she's in, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, like a version of that where it's like, this is how the world is, and now I'm safe. And then you realize, oh shit, no, I'm not.
Well, that leads to like fixed ego, or like the need for the illusion that we have fixed sources of, like, when we talk about human design, you know, the idea of maybe that we, in our growth, we assume all of our centers are fixed and we're just wrong. Only like two of them are fixed. Idea in like human design of, you know, open centers or fixed centers or whatever they're called, filled centers. Defined. Thank you. And that the defined ones are you know, the more consistent, reliable sources of those centers. And if you're not defined in those centers, then that's not a reliable source. But that maybe when we're younger, we assume, in a sense, or we long for all of those centers to be defined, and we learn gradually maybe that, oh, they're not.
Right. Or the opposite happens. Like if you're me and you have a rigid mom whose rigidity breaks your heart, you decide, I'm going to be super open and flexible, and everything about me is open and flexible, and I don't have any rigid. Then later you discover, holy shit, a lot of fixation in this chart, and I need to own it because I'm in resistance to myself. So it can go either way. But yes, exactly, to your point. I think that's the thing. In childhood, whatever our trauma is, or whatever we're responding or reacting to, we're always looking as young people for like a fixed point of reference, or like something that won't change.
Yeah.
My life has been like constant teachings about, I don't get to do that. But I do, you know, I do find interesting to Keisha's point about the white capitalist patriarchy, basically, is like when you look at the folks in the some of the middle parts of the country who, or just wherever they are, who have a fixed way of thinking about what is right and what is wrong, and storm the Capitol and follow megalomaniacal white man leaders, there is a refusal to change inside of that point of view. Like there's a, no, this is the simple set of rules I believed when I was 8, and we're not going to question that inflexibility around like change. I think like you can find that at the core of all of these that are trying to create more separation. You know what I mean? Like the white capitalist patriot built on, you know, there is a right way of doing things. Here's the right way, the way that the big, tall, rich white man says is right. And and we, the very threat to that, to the white capitalist patriarchy's death, is the idea that any of it would ever change. And I think what's going on, I'm going to say it, the Trumpers of the world and the folks who have a very simplistic view of reality, is there is so much change happening through the collective consciousness right now, whether they like it or not, that they're doing that thing that anybody at the end of a death of the ego process, which is cling to the old way tighter. Like, uh-oh, we're scared. It's all falling apart. Let's cling tighter. Let's storm the Capitol. You know what I mean?
Especially if the lens is like, and I benefit from the old way, and I might, I don't know what this new way has in store for me, but this one, what, and whether or not that benefit is true, it appears to, or there's like degrees of benefit, the what people are being, what poor or even middle class, which if that's even a real thing, that's a whole other conversation, but what white folks have been sold by rich and powerful. Well, rich white folks in power, is that you too can be here. And that has always been bullshit. But as long as you can sell people on the dream, you can get them to kind of do your groundwork and say, no, you got to keep this. You got to keep this machine in place, because if it's not in place, you can't attain this, you know, positionality that we have. So you better get those folks that are coming for your jobs or your whatever.
Man,
and then we end up here.
That's so it. Yeah, that's such a great way to put it. Okay, let me see if I can articulate this. I had this like complex realization yesterday that's actually quite simple that I have. I wonder if you guys have had things like this where you have the same reawakening a million times where you're like, oh, it's just this. And then you end up again. I always say like God or consciousness makes people like me be spiritual teachers, because we are the ones who need to remember. Not that I'm a spiritual giant. It's that I need to talk about this shit so I fucking remember it. Less of an asshole, really. So yesterday, I'm driving the car and I'm sobbing. I was, why was I crying this time? It was because I had, oh,
this
I know.
Time.
Okay. This time. It's all the time. Okay. So this is right what you just said, Keisha. So let me see if I can put words on this. Basically, it was like I was having a stressful time. I pulled a three-card spread, and the spread was very articulate and specific about exactly what's going on in my reality at this moment. And the outcome card had advice in it, which was, hey, you seem to have forgotten in these last couple of days here, friend. Take everything back. Always come to God first. You take it to God, and the outer stuff gets solved. Now, that's true for me personally. If I put spirit first, it always all works out. And that's from everything from money to food to self-love to job, every fucking thing. I'm very blessed in the sense that if I take 10 minutes, open the record, connect with God, tell it I don't know what to do about X, Y, and Z, all of a sudden I'm crying because the stress is relieving out of my heart, being relieved, kicking back the wheel, as it were, and then X, Y, and Z gets fucking handled. You could say that person who has kinship with the divine is quite blessed. What a blessing. But the only reason I'm that blessed is because of how deeply asleep I can fall and how quickly. That is to say, all the fucking time. I'm like, okay, these 90 problems, I'm going to solve them all. I'm going to be so busy solving them that my heart's going to be real tight. Now I'm going to be impatient with my dogs and rude to my neighbor and mean to that guy at improv. And then I look back at the end of my week and I go, you know, Katie, if you had just let go of the wheel a little, done any spiritual practice before any of those activities, you would have been nicer to your dogs. You would have been patient with this guy at improv. And your money would have solved itself. Right. The bottom line is spirit has to be at the center of my heart and my life every moment, not 20 minutes in the morning and an hour at night, even though that sounds like a lot of minutes. It's like my mind goes, but all the minutes I spend. And spirit's like, it's about, are you with me now and now and now and now? Because if I'm with spirit now, I'm a better version of Katie. And so when I hear you say, just said, Keisha, it's like the power thing, the thinking that I'm going to solve my problems, but like my problems get solved when I'm on the machine of be a richer lady with a nicer house in charge of more people. The lie of the mind that is that because I am a white lady from wealthy white people, let's be real, I have the doors to that world open to me. So my mind can go like, we can have the house on the water. We can run all the things. We could have the white capital patriarchal dream. So I become owned by that regularly. And then I go, why am I so cranky? And it's only ever because spirit's not at the center. Principles of spirituality are not at the center. Now I'm trying to get mine. And I'm a fucking full-time spiritual teacher. What?
And you still fall asleep.
That hits so hard. Hits so hard in the best way. In like a hard way and a good way. I'm like, ooh, yeah, needing those reminders. Like I'm thinking of even just, I haven't been teaching yoga as much these days, but every class or workshop that I crafted, I'm like, these are lessons I need right now. Like SOS, you know, like I have to say it out loud with some other folks so it can engrave itself into my own psyche and consciousness again and again and again.
Weren't you just, and you were in the show that Rami was just in, right?
Yeah.
Okay, now, so Rami messages me after they do that show. One of the, I don't know how many you guys did, but the energy around my homie when they were messaging me, they were like, we just did the show and I feel like Oakland is lit up by the light of the conscious awareness that is the show and we opened a portal out of here. And I was like, oh, so strong. And right now while we're talking, somebody's texting me and Keisha was in the house full show too. And I'm like, oh shit, we have to talk about that.
Oh, yes, we do. I'm still basking in the glow and sleepy from the output, the physical output, the spiritual output. My God. Woo! Okay, so the show, what is this thing? So for the last 7.5 years, I have had the honor and privilege and just, I don't even know other sufficient adjectives to describe, but to work with this group of Black women co-led by Amara Tabor-Smith and Ellis Sebastian Chang called House Full of Black Women here in Oakland. Mm. And, you know, we talked about at the beginning the Chateau LaRange being my family. This group of magical humans has been my other family as well. I'm trying to think of the most succinct way to capture it. Like, we come together, you know, on paper, it's like, oh, you know, these artists with, you know, of, you know, skill sets or, you know, artistic practices are coming together and they like do some stuff. And like, that's what it is on paper. But what it is in practice is a coven. It is us really tapping into the power of the intimacy that can happen between Black women and femme folk that have like passed through our, you know, circle in this last 7.5 years, and taking like this deep intimacy, this deep bonds of trust that we've built, and then from that place, from the place of us, you know, kind of excavating our own lives, our own hearts, and just looking around Oakland and seeing how fellow Black women and girls are surviving or not here, and how, you know, how we are living in relationship to that, coming together in response, in movement, text-based prayer, in ritual and ceremony to impact those things, to be a kind of like spiritual spellcasters and disruptors.
I think would be, if we can just give a little context for the listeners about the sort of scope and arc of the 7.5 year thing called House Full of Black Women, and how many different forms it took, where, you know, sometimes it was an advertised show where people actually went and attended. Sometimes it was a happening. Sometimes it was just direct action. What were the, can you give like a few examples of the different forms that it took and things that it did?
Sure. So each time there, so we're, you know, there's our kind of internal meeting where it's like just us, and there's a lot of magic that happens in those, like, it's just no words, just trust the magic. It's just magic in those spaces every time we come together, which is another reason you know, this house that Cass and I live in is so charged, because we get to have the benefit of that residual magic. And then, you know, we have those moments where we have public offerings, you know, for our community to engage with us. So some of them have been like this kind of closing ceremony that was a performance in a performance space that was dance and text and song based, that people can come and share in. We've had maybe three like that, three big ones. Other ones have been song circles. We've had a few all-night song circles open to Black women and femmes to come and like literally sing from evening until sunrise. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. Oh my God. And we're singing, you know, songs. Sometimes the songs are like super playful and just ridiculous, and everyone's giddy at 3 o'clock in the morning and like falling out while somebody's asleep in the corner. Other times it's songs of, you know, grief, like what's passing through, and there's just like a wailing moment. You know, there's, so that's another offering. We've had processions. We've had a number of processions through the streets of Oakland. And again, this is kind of where some of that like spellcasting and spiritual disruption comes into play. Being out on the street, some of the uprisings that happened in the summer of 2020, we had a, you know, a kind of safe space, because there was a lot of, you know, pushback from the Oakland Police Department, and we wanted to like provide a safe space for folks in case any, you know, in case things got kind of hot in on a particular evening. And it's so funny because of what, you know, I like to believe, because of kind of the intention setting beforehand, everything ended incredibly peacefully that particular evening, right? So there's just a lot of way that I've just so clearly witnessed the way that spirit moves in this group. And the last one that I'll share is also, we've had private resting spaces for Black women to come and experience rest and respite from all that is happening on our streets on a day-to-day basis. The experience of being at the resting house changed my life. Because I said, if taking care of Black women and in such a way that can provide like rest and ease is all I ever did forever and ever for the rest of my life, I would be satisfied. Because I was like, you know, I could write some grants and try to be like, yeah, I want to get my performances on the road, which I, you know, I kind of do, whatever. But I was like, if I never did any of that stuff, that's some of the stuff.
That's incredible. What is the physical space that where you guys do the rest folding action work?
Let's see.
Like, is it,
I am not at liberty to disclose that.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. You know,
yeah.
You're making bringing something to mind that is hard to own, say out loud, but I do it for my own accountability practice and my own humility. You know, there was stuff for me that really came up as a white woman from a liberal family when everything was happening in 2020 in the mm-hmm. Bay Area that mm-hmm. thankfully, because I have an orientation toward, okay, your stuff is up, go inside, bring God to it, see what happens. Don't just decide your stuff. I did that and got a lot of guidance and help from people who were willing to educate me about a number of things. And it, well, I just want to thank you, I guess, for existing right now at a time like this, where even well-intentioned, undereducated, liberal ladies like myself still had catching up to do that we didn't know we had to do because of the privilege that allowed me to not know I had catching up to do. Like, you're doing what you're doing, and you're part of holding space for everything that's happening and the people involved means I had to catch up. I had to. If I was going to call myself the words I like to call myself, I had to do some catch up. And it's humbling, and I don't like that I had to, but I also, like, you can only do what you can do. You can only see what you can see when you see it. And mm-hmm. I saw it. Continuing to learn and be opened and humbled by it. And so I just bow to you and the work you all have been doing, not just in this context you're describing, though also in that context you're describing, because wow, but just by existing. So thank you.
Thank you, Katie. I receive and, you know, affirm, like, yeah, we need everybody. Like, we need all of y'all if we are trying to get free. It's effect, like, in this now time, all the now times, but in this now time, it's all hands on deck. You know, we're kind of getting to that critical tipping point. Like, we need all of us to get free.
Yeah,
we do.
I agree. And, like, it part of what makes it also touching to me is I spend, you know, most of my waking hours contributing to the effort to get free on this, like, energy, esoteric healing level. So mm-hmm. to be confronted with the ways that in the 3D reality, I was not contributing to getting free at all is quite a useful patient. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I think I've dedicated my life to people waking up and being free, but I'm not contributing this shit. It's like, well, oh shit. You know, so where it all comes back to for me is when you look at, I feel blessed to have an orientation inside myself that says, when I hit an oh shit wall, I go, I have work to do. Not, oh shit, let's hold on to what we have so we don't lose it. What can be done collectively so that all those people who do have an orientation toward, oh shit, let me stay harder in my old ways and not change. Like, what about them? You know, not everybody has a growth mindset. Not everybody gives half a shit, you know, to get free.
Right.
And so I always come back to, I don't have figured out at all. I just, for myself, I come back to all I can do is, like, I can keep growing. I can stay as humble as possible. I can ask questions. I can learn. And then I can teach others who want to ask and grow and learn and be available for that. Beyond that, I do a prayer work, because we started this conversation where I was sharing with you that in my weird little reality, if I take it to God, it works out. Because experience, I'm like, then it is my responsibility. God, this makes me want to weep right now. But it is my responsibility to sit in the light more every day and ask God to please contribute to your effort and to contribute to the awakening and the freedom on the 3D level that I forget to ask about. Because apparently I have mind to this God thing. So, so I'm like, why have I not been including? And now you have my commitment that is included.
Yeah.
For whatever that's
meant.
Like, come get your brother. Come talk to your God. You have this line to God. You better use it.
Kind of funny and silly, but it's also just like, hold on. If that much magic happens in my reality, what a weird move on my part to not then ask for bigger shit for the color. What am I fucking doing? Oh, it's good. I feel good. It's good.
Well, hey, segue on that with time. I just want to say, if we still have time, I would love to push the offering to, you want to talk about doing something for people. I would love to throw the offering to Keisha, if it's still a possibility for you, Katie, and for you, Keisha, in terms of time of going into the records and making an offering for Keisha here on this.
I'm good on time. I'm cool. Katie, is that available?
Before that, though, what I was going to into, and let's certainly do that if you want to, Keisha, but I also would be remiss if I didn't, your relationship with Rami and Allison and the sort of triumph of the three of you, where I'll just say this briefly for the listener. I had the pleasure of one time sort of being a Keisha stand-in to the triumvirate. We hung out with Allison and did the Ouija board and opened a portal of light that was incredibly profound. We channeled all kinds of information and like all kinds of shit came through, and holy shit, it was incredible. I get that you're the Keisha that Rami has this triumvirate with Alice.
I would be the very same. Yes, yes. I heard about this powerful Ouija evening, or I don't know, afternoon, whatever it was. Yes, that's amazing. I love that y'all had that.
Just for listeners, say a little bit about what happens when the three of you get together. Like, what do you do and what comes of it? Can you share just a little bit about that? Because I feel like that's going to be empowering for people.
Oh, yes. Okay. I always have to do shout outs. So again, shout out to my siblings, Rami and Allison. Yeah, we come together. Also magical humans come together, and Allison has this ridiculously magical Ouija board that someone made for her, and I don't remember who. But it's, yeah, this beautiful board that is, I don't know. I don't know what juju is working when we sit down to that thing. But we typically, invite in benevolent entities that want to share information with us. And we gather around the table or on the floor or whatever with our candles, and we kind of ground and cleanse beforehand. And then, we ask questions and, things get moving. And it's funny too, like, I am not nearly, like, Allison has the skill to just like keep each of the letters, as the dial is moving around the board. And I'm like, ooh, I lost it after like C. And she's like, oh, and then she'll like say the whole paragraph of the message. I'm like, what? So that's kind of like how that has played out. I mean, as you may have experienced a powerful tool. And I feel like I feel like I'm personally trying to understand what my specific tools are. But for Allison, I'm like, oh, this is your tool. This is like one of your mini superpowers. I see that at work.
Okay. I have an insight about this. And we got this. This is a perfect segue into the records. But we got this when I was there being a Keisha stand-in. In other words, what's that movie with, what's her fucking face? The movie about witches with the tall blonde actress from Australia that we all know whose name is.
Nicole Kidman.
Not Hocus Pocus? No.
Witches of Eastwick. The Witches of Eastwick. Oh, Practical Magic.
That's just a reference for people who need a reference to what a coven is or what a portal is. In other words, the three of you in that triumvirate, like, the three of you are required for the thing to be what the thing is. Like, Allison has her connection to that being that then speaks through the Ouija board. Those are the tools. But I argue that if the three aren't there, the specific thing that happens with the three of you there doesn't happen. So that doesn't answer your question, what are my tools specifically, but it does acknowledge the potency and significance of your presence in those moments. Like, I would say you guys are opening a particular portal to a particular level of consciousness that has particular information and healing that requires the three of you there. And part of how I know that is when I was there, we opened a whole other thing that the two of them were like, oh, shit. And I was like, well, because I can hear things and perceive them in my body, and Allison does her thing, and Rami was like, I'm just holding space. That threesome was what it was, you know? So you're holding some kind of space, and your presence is an activator for whatever the three of you are creating or accessing. Because of time, I'm going to go a little quickly here. Keisha, what's your full legal name if you're open to sharing it that's on your driver's license?
Yes, Keisha Danielle Turner.
Danielle Turner. All right, let's dive in. Forgive me for the speed I'm going to do this at, okay? Let's just take a couple deep breaths into the low belly. Emotional center. And then we'll feel our feet in contact with the ground. And we'll see our feet chakras opening, just a little vortex of light opening at the bottom center of each foot, like a hurricane or a tornado. It gets wider and wider until the feet are fully open on the bottom, breathing into the low belly. And then just doing whatever you do that opens your heart, that grounds you, that softens you. I mean, they're ready, so I'm just going to go. And so we do acknowledge the forces of light. Asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Keisha Danielle Turner in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Keisha Danielle Turner through the eyes of the Lords of the Records, and enable me, please, to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Keisha Danielle Turner have for Keisha Danielle Turner. And I'll just go quiet for a second here. Okay. Keisha, I'm wondering real quick, there's some awarenesses here, a little bit of intel, a little bit of energetic awareness I get, and then I'd love to take any questions that you have or anything you want to throw out. But I'm wondering astrologically, do you have any earth in your design, in your chart?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question.
What's your astrology? Do you know your sun, moon, and rising?
Yes, my sun is Pisces. My moon is Capricorn. My rising is Scorpio.
Okay. So they bring me first to the Capricorn moon. Okay. So when I said before, do you have any earth in your chart? What I meant was, like, where is this prominent earth energy they're bringing me to? And it would be Capricorn is in
Capricorn.
Yeah. Now, it comes through so clearly because of that Pisces on the personality level, which is, of course, the portal to all things beyond this dimensionality. So you have quite a gift here, which is the combination of, oh my God. And then you have the Scorpio rising, which is, give me a break. It's like a perfect blend for a human being to carry spirit in body form. Pisces, sun, cat, moon, Scorpio rising is such a beautiful blend, because the Scorpio acts like, I don't know, the ambassador to the other dimensions. And then the Pisces is already in the other dimensions. And then the Capricorn roots to this reality and keeps you from flying out into space the way I fucking do all the time. So alhamdulillah to you and to how you were made. There is, I'm just going to give you briefly what's here and then I'll check in with you. There is a deep honor for you of the earth element in your makeup, which is to say, sometimes that which makes it harder for you to know your spiritual specificities or gifts or orientations, or that which makes it harder for you to access the divine or do it on your own or know what your tools are, any of that, is the earth element. But what you must understand from the perspective of the beyond is your earth element is just absolutely central and key to what you offer, to what your gifts are.
Will you just, I have to interrupt and say, will you tell us what your, the thing you offer, one of the things you offer is a business of products. And what is the name of that business?
Earth Child. Okay, I thought that you catch that and I didn't. That's
right. Okay.
So remember that the energies of the earth are, they're rocks, right? Rocks are slow. Rocks mm-hmm. are heavy. Rocks are rooted. Rocks can't be shaken so easily. Rocks are grounded. Rocks are powerful. And they are dense matter. Doesn't mean they're not made of conscious light. So you are the walking embodiment, conscious light in the form of rock. Do you know how think about, I mean, even what you described before, being the holding space for rest for Black women, that is the rock. You are the rock for your people. That's you living the role that you are. So, okay, that's what's here. Okay, questions or anything you want to ask at all?
I mean, yeah, we'll see what we get. I know, like, time's a little short, but I'm in a transitional period in my life on a lot of different fronts. I just finished grad school. I have this, like, ending with this, you know, working with this group of women. There's, like, other stuff on the horizon. I'm just kind of trying to understand how to move forward in ways that are different than I'm used to moving, which kind of leads to overwork and burnout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which also feels connected to that Capricorn moon that works.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a lot here. You can, okay, something that will help. Oh, there's so much here. Let me just ground this a little bit. So how would you frame that? Is this what you're asking? Because I could go so many directions with this. How do I move forward in a way that doesn't cause burnout?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Remember to anchor your creative, spiritual endeavors into a form that makes you money. Because, or at least for part of it to do that. Because, let me get this. Because the Capricorn moon, it's like if you let the Pisces personality and the Scorpio purpose lead without integrating them through what works in practical reality, which is the moon, Capricorn, then you get out in many directions. But if you can root through the emotional, in astrology, the moon position is very underrated, underspoken about, devalued. We should, as humans, should be walking around going, hello, my moon sign is this. That's what would be more useful, because in your reality, the emotional realm, the realm of the moon, is devalued, misunderstood, de-emphasized, decentralized. If, however, you were to centralize around your emotional process, you would make choices, you would, that are practical for yourself and for the family, and that build a foundation that lasts. It's when you get up in the upper chakras, heart, throat, third eye, up, crown, and don't root your choices through your emotional body. What will work for me on a practical level would be a question that would keep you from burnout. What will work for me emotionally on a practical level? Now, this doesn't mean you throw away any part of yourself, of course. It doesn't mean you throw away your vision or your transcendent orientation to reality. It means you ask, how do I bring the transcendent, creative, bliss, other dimensional interests I have down and in to the three-dimensional reality where my body lives? I have a question. This is coming, keeps coming. There's something about professionalism. Like, are you studying anything professional? Like, what is the professional door you might be considering walking through?
I'm trying to figure out what direction that could go in. I just finished like a master's program for choreography, and also there's a few different projects that I'm considering moving forward on, and this is kind of around that thing of burnout. Like, do I take on more projects, or do I kind of like recover from all that life force that school kind of sucked out of me?
Okay, well,
that black and white.
No, it's recover. Please recover a little. 3 months, maybe. Recover. Be a person. Recover. Breathe. Find your natural rhythm again, and then project. But there's something more than project for you. There's a professional. They want you to lay a professional foundation for yourself. Like, you need a profession. You have the capacity for a kind of like profession. What do you think that might be?
I mean, it could be this return. Cassidy was mentioning Earth Child, and it's kind of where I house most of the things that I do that I'd like to offer professionally. That's been on hiatus while I was in school.
That doesn't read. They give me a no. So, like, what other ideas?
No. Oh, really?
We're not throwing trash. Okay, we're saying what we're looking at now is, what is the baseline professional career, you could say, from which or through which the other things will get to exist? We promise. You need. It's like you want to think about, what is the most professional vehicle I could choose for the expression of all of my aspects?
College professor, yoga teacher. I'm just throwing things out to sort of prime the pump here.
Right.
Yeah. And he's on it, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, those are some things that are, you know, in my field of vision. I mean, there's also just continuing to be a choreographer, just like what I do and have done. I want to continue doing and taking my work, you know, to a few different places around the country. I feel important.
I'm going to give this to you how I get it, and you can please throw this in the trash if it doesn't resonate. Let it sit in the back of your mind for a while. Jump on it. Whatever works. Okay, but here's what I get. It's you, the way that you're made and the gifts that you have, they will be underserved. Your gifts will be underserved if you are just, how shall we say, freelance choreographer. You want to be rooted in a location, in a profession, and from there you go choreograph. So it is like professor, college, students come to you, You're leading talks. You're leading. You're making shows. You're devising work. You're writing papers. You're doing all of it through the portal of, and in the container. You understand, a university system, despite all of its failings, is a beautiful container for an artist, because there's money there, there are spaces there, and people are interested in hearing the truth. So perhaps it's the time in this 10-second increment of time for this to sound fun or good or hope-inducing, but when as soon as you start talking about it, they're like, professionalism, profession. Don't flit around and do projects forever. You're meant to root your gifts through the professionalism of a context that already exists, and that you bring the vision, the transcendence, the talent through that portal. You can also, whatever earth, the earth products can also come through that portal. You'll get tons of clients for that. None of this is shut anything down. We're just looking at the question of what is the biggest, most grounded, most integrated shape that the Keisha soul gift can happen through. And this doesn't mean you won't be able to choreograph. You will. Okay. Thank you for tolerating that. That was like not leave me alone until that was the big thrust that wanted to come through.
I'm gonna have to be with God. I've been very resistant to working in the university system. and I know it's so funny. I literally was just having a conversation about, I know so many of us artists, like I have so many people in my circle who are going that route because it does provide a sense of stability. And I have questioned whether that space is for me.
I hear you. That's fair. That's very, very fair. We all go through that questioning, right? Like, is there enough room, ability? Can I actually do what I want? Are they going to make me smaller? Are they going to contain me? Are they going to? And it's the bottom line is like, you find the right one for you or you don't take it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Oof. I'm having a good meditation after this.
I think here's the thrust of it too. There's a way that they're like, please remind her. God, I feel this so clearly. The words are a little tough though. It's like, you are professional grade. Don't make choices in your life that are not professional grade, because those choices will devalue the essence of what and who you are. And in so doing, your life will get smaller and tighter and smaller and tighter. But if you say to yourself, I am professional grade. I only choose projects that, yes, spiritually, creatively allow me to do what I want to do and are professional grade, you know, then things will move forward in an aligned way for you, where things get bigger and better and more and et cetera. Does that make sense?
I think I'm hearing you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a question I had about, like, okay, I want to go back to, you know, I got the papers and I want to go back to what I've been doing, but what's the expanded version of that? Not just, can I think you were saying, like you were saying, both tighter and more confined. That's not where I need to go.
Yeah. I think this is about, they're like, have faith. This comes back to what Katie was talking about earlier, about in God's world, in the center of your heart, there's absolutely a university that is open and creative and receptive to you as you are and wants you to be you and do you and go. There are also universities outside of God's world that don't want that for you. So come from God's reality. Don't come from the limited reality that your mind can see.
Yeah.
Pray to be led pray from your heart for God to show you where is the professional foundation from which I can operate. Show me, bring it to me, and then follow what you intuitively feel led to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I got to close your records and I got to hop off into the client in a minute. I want to thank the teachers and loved ones for their love and compassion. Whew, the Lord to the record, their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return all of Keisha Danielle Turner's energy to herself now, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Keisha Danielle Turner are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Keisha Danielle Turner are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Keisha Danielle Turner are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Ashadu an layla hasimullah, ashadu an muhammad abdihu wa rasulullah. So funny. Closing your records that have the distinct experience of going from grounded to ungrounded. Okay. So profound. I want us to have you back on sometime so we can talk more if you ever want to.
Mm, I love that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for opening your records on my behalf. I appreciate you, Cassidy. Thank you for reaching out and the invitation. So happy to be in conversation with you both.
Thank you so much. Mm. Everyone have an awesome rest of your day and do your work.
Do your work, friends. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. Asking for all of the answers. Say what? All of the answers?
Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @allanswerspod. Thank you.
Yeah, step 670, alternate vent doors 1 and 2, leeward side, are they open now?
We're already there. We can now perform 70, 71, 72.
Thank you.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
It's RTRT.
Yeah, can you go channel 232 for S-band to high power?
TCC copy. RCRT copy. OTC or VCC?
Go
ahead,
OVCC.
Access closed and latch. Reply.
Copy that.